It's a very special show today. We're going to deal with some questions that have been posed to me by our good friend Manny the Mailman in New Jersey. Manny was sick the other day, and when he's sick, what he likes to do is ring up into your head and leave a rambling voicemail in which he asks a lot of succinct questions which would not otherwise have occurred to him. So in other words, it's fortunate for us that Manny was unwell, even if it's unfortunate for him, because when he's well, he goes off and does stuff like work and all sorts of other stuff. But when he's unwell, he comes along here and says, "I have questions, and I know a man who can answer them." And that man is, well, I can't remember his name because I'm on all sorts of medications and it's affecting my memory. But fortunately, I can just go to intoyourhead.com/stalk and click record a message. And I can record a message, and that's what Manny did. So let's cut to the chase, and here's his first question.
And here I am sitting on my couch, sick as a dog, and I have a lot of stuff to do outside today in my new house that I bought, and I think I'm going to have to suck it up and get out there and do some yard work. That's why one of the topics I mentioned to you was weed trimmers. Electric or gas? I have to buy one, and I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to lug around an extension cord or I want to fumble with mixing a concoction of oil and gasoline every time I want to fill the gas tank on the weed trimmer. But I need a weed trimmer, and the gas seems to be the easier choice because you're not encumbered by a cord, but they're a lot more expensive, a little heavier, and I need some help on that, so I hope you're going to bring that up in the latest episode of your show to help give me some guidance.
Now, to answer Manny's question, you don't need to lug around a power cord. You just leave it. You put one end stuck into the wall, and then you drape the rest of it along the ground up to the point at the place where you're working. And then it just stays there, and electricity moves itself. It's self-contraveling. It's self-transporting. It comes with built-in kinetic energy, which pushes the electricity to the appropriate place. Now, the other alternative you mentioned there is oil and gas, and that's a completely different kettle of fish. You'd have to get the oil and get the gas, and don't mix them whatever you do. Oil and gas do not mix. Oil is for cooking, gas is for cooking on. You can put the food into the oil, but you can't put it into the gas. You just put it in a bowl, in a metal basin, a metal pot on top of the gas, and put the oil in the pot, and then put your chips or whatever it is you're cooking in the oil. But electricity would be a safe enough alternative to that. But I don't know why you need an extension cord for that. I mean, usually when you put in a cooker in your house, as you're doing now in your new home, you just push a, there's usually a spot in the kitchen that's designed to have a cooker placed there, and there's be a short. There'll be a short cord on the electric plug that's attached to the cooker, and you just plug it into the nearest socket. And if you need an extension cord to reach that, then I'm afraid your house isn't designed very well. So I hope that helps, Manny. Now, Manny's next question relates to something we know quite a lot about here in Ireland. Back long before there was podcasting, before there was any kind of local radio or any kind of proper licensed broadcasting, a lot of people who wanted to hear 24-hour music every day, and it wasn't available. You get 15 minutes off the BBC across the water, or you get a load of ballroom dancing on our national public radio station. So a lot of young people got together and they set up what's called pirate radio, illegally unlicensed radio stations, and they'd blare out pop music from one end of the day to the next, and all through the night. And many of our top personalities started in pirate radio, and then in England they went so far as to buy ships, and you had stations like Radio Caroline coming out of a ship off the English coast somewhere, until that was shut down. There was a movie about it recently. Anyway, Manny is quite exercised about this. He doesn't understand why it's back. There's something going on at the moment, apparently in Somalia. There's a pirate ship, and they just can't shut it down, and it's just a load of teenagers blaring out pop music, not even proper pop music. In my day to hear was Nirvana and The Police and Queen, proper pop music, maybe a bit of the Sex Pistols before they went mad, you know, before they all had drugs and all. Because contrary to proper belief, young pop musicians aren't all on drugs. Some of them are pumping out proper music. The likes of John Lennon, he came out with stuff like Give Peace a Chance, and Give Peace Another Bit of a Chance, and Let's Go to Bed and Have a Campaign, whereby everyone just goes to bed and we all forget about the wars and it'll all be fine. Himself and his wife Yoko was great at doing that sort of thing. So no, young people's music isn't all about drugs and alcohol. Some of it is quite respectable, but unfortunately, if it's broadcasting on a pirate station, either from a ship or on land, it's illegal, and the police have to eventually raid you and shut you down. Because if they don't, the proper commercial licensees go mad, and they say, I paid for a license, and these young people are coming in broadcasting crap, and they're taking away my advertisers. I need people to pay for me to advertise their stuff. Now, they don't seem to see the irony there. If I have a pirate radio station and I pay for a commercial spot on a licensed radio station, they're making money out of me. But that's beside the point. Manny is feeling quite exercised about this, so here we are again. Manny the Mailman.
It's quite intriguing to me that you have a band of teenagers, like 15 to 19 year olds, out there in like makeshift rowboats and rubber rafts, you know, carrying rocket launchers, taking over, you know, city block long oil tankers and fishing trawlers, and, you know, having like destroyers from the different world's navies trying to hold them off while I stand there in their little rowboats holding people hostage. These kids are like teenagers. I have four teenagers in my house here, and I have a hard time getting them to put the toilet seat down or, you know, put a dish in the sink after they use it. Here they are going out there and taking over, you know, vessels and, you know, holding the world at bay. Very, very industrious young men there in Somalia. I'm thinking that we should bring them around to other countries and have them train our teenagers how to be a little more, you know, self-reliant. Maybe it'll be a new occupation for me and you. We'll have a Somali pirate seminars in different countries, and, you know, bring your, you know, lackluster teens in, and we'll teach them how to be a little more, you know, bold and boisterous, and they could go out there and take on the world, or, you know, hijack an airplane or a boat if they want. So that was my take on a Somali pirate.
Now, I have to say, I wasn't aware that the situation had gotten that extreme. Manny talks of oil tankers being blown up, and people running rampant all over the place, just for the sake of a bit of radio. To be perfectly honest, I don't think this is necessary anymore. What's happened here is that the young people haven't acquired enough computer skills. They're not aware of the existence of podcasting, or they tell you, either that or they think you have to have an Apple iPod to be able to download a podcast, which is often the case. So they think you have to have pirate radio if you're going to get anywhere at all. So basically what needs to be done is to get these young people into information technology classes and teach them how to make a podcast, teach them how to use the basics of editing, maybe give them a portable voice recorder and some LPs, teach them how to play music that's not restricted by copyright. You can get pod-safe music now all over the place. I use a gadget called a Mad Player, and it makes proper, original, cool music that the young people would like, but that's not in breach of any copyright whatsoever, because it's created on the fly. So that's what we need to do, Manny, with these young people. There's no need for all this violence and vandalism, spirited as it may be. I've nothing against children getting exercise over things and having strong opinions, but sometimes all they need is a little computer course. They're being taught how to use Microsoft Word and Windows, and they're being taught how to send an email and use Bebo and MySpace and Twitter, but half of them don't know how to make a podcast. And they think instead you have to hijack a ship and put up a giant broadcasting mast on it and then send illegal signals that are probably going to lock an ambulance. If you put out a signal along the wrong FM frequency, you can cause an ambulance to turn over on its roof, and then the people inside get injured if they're not injured already, and if they are injured already, if you're very lucky, it'll cancel out the injury. If someone's knee has got turned round the wrong way, they might get lucky and it'll unlock the knee, and the knee will be turned round and not be backwards anymore. But what are the chances of that? The chances are you're probably going to further injure the people who are in the ambulance, or injure the people who are trying to help them. And I don't think, frankly, that that's a good thing. Even if it brings music to the young people, and I know you're a music lover, Manny, because you go on Twitter all the time and you post all the songs you're listening to, and they're all fantastic. I can't hear them on Twitter now because you just post text of them. I know they're playing somewhere else, so I can go and log in and it'll say, here's what Manny's listening to now. He's listening to the theme tune from Postman Pat, which goes Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his pack black and white cat. Now Manny has cats, so he's perfectly qualified to sing that song. He's both a mailman and a cat owner. In fact, he has more cats than Pat the Postman. So Pat the Postman, basically, or Postman Pat, as he's called on the television programme. Postman Pat is behind the times. The proper number of cats to have nowadays is at least two. We're going to have more than two when Kofi explodes. By the looks of it, we're going to have 16 cats, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. But they're not going to be allowed to watch Postman Pat, because that's like, that'd be like if we had children and we let them watch The Littlest Hobo from years ago, back when everyone had a dog who used to rescue people. You never see them rescuing the cat. In fact, most of the people who had The Littlest Hobo as a rescuer or as a friend, because he never had owners. He was called a hobo for a reason. He used to wander all over the place saving people and stumbling upon people who were stuck in caves with their leg broken, or basically stuck in an ambulance that had been jammed by a pirate radio station, and he basically saved them. It wasn't like Lassie now. He wouldn't tell someone else that he needed to be saved. He'd just go ahead and save them. He wasn't that small now. The title was misleading. He wasn't the littlest hobo. I don't have statistics for this, but have no doubt that there were littler hobos than him around. At least littler dogs of the same breed. Whether they were hobos or not, I suppose, is debatable. How do you class a dog as a hobo? A hobo surely is a slang for a homeless person. Do they do statistics on homeless dogs? And if so, are they called hobos, or are they called strays? I don't think you could classify the littlest hobo as a stray. I mean, he knew where he was going. Or he was intentionally stray. He was more of an intentionally nomadic dog thing astray. I mean, admittedly, he didn't plan his route, but that was intentional. He wasn't lost, or he wasn't abandoned. He had chosen to live this way, as was clear from the theme tune at the end of the show, for anyone who didn't get it. These things have to be made clear in theme tunes. So they said they had a man singing the thoughts of the dog, saying, I'm moving on, basically. I'll go somewhere else tomorrow. Maybe someday I'll settle down, but not today. That was a bit confusing for young children, because it was sang in the voice of a human, not a dog. But I suppose that's the only way you can do these things. There are laws as to what you can make a dog actor do. The Postman Pat didn't have that problem, because there was an animated series. They had narrators and voice artists and all sorts of things. Anyway, thanks, Manny, for all the questions. I hope you've enjoyed this morning's Manny the Mailman question and answer special from the Into Your Head Temporarily Daily Breakfast Show, which will be back tomorrow. Good morning.